Oh. I thought I deleted these. I apologize. All right, Cinco to Five. Oh, that was abrupt. Cinco to Five is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. And Sean just alluded to it a few hours ago. You heard it here. Mike Brown's introductory press conference. And as you guys know, it is Knicks in 26. So I was super excited to hear what the new head coach had to say. So I'm going to give you, with audio, my five biggest takeaways from Mike Brown's introductory press conference. All right?
Here nice. We go.
Here we go. Paulie's not.
Here we go.
Number five.
He's too busy doing nothing. All right, here's number five. This is one of the questions that I wanted to ask the coach, and that was the idea of Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson both together in the starting lineup. So this is what Coach had to say.
I'm excited that they're both on the team, obviously, because they're two different players. You know, Mitchell's a vertical threat. Cat, as you know, is a space threat, and so to have the versatility that those two guys bring to the table is going to be a lot of fun.
So let me just say this. If Mitchell Robinson's healthy, he should be in the starting lineup. Josh Hart should come off the bench. I don't know if Mitchell Robinson will be healthy all year long.
I think you're putting
like
words in Mike Brown's mouth, though. He didn't say that.
I am. Oh, well, I'm I think that was a lot of coach. There was a lot of coach speak there.
It sounded like I have no idea what the hell my plan is for
them. I know they're two great, potential great players for me. Maybe together they'll be good, but right now I have no idea. Well, that's what that sounded like.
Well, ask me again in September.
Yes.
Should hire me for a staff. All right, here we go.
Number four.
All right, something that no matter who took over this job would have to deal with, and that's the idea of expectations. So Mike Brown was asked about expectations taking over for a team with championship, you know, aspirations.
Nobody has any bigger expectations, first of all, than I do. I mean, my expectations are high. But I mean, this is the Knicks. I talked about Madison Square Garden being iconic. I love and embrace the expectations that come along with it.
Okay. Okay. Just once, I would like somebody associated with getting hired by a team at Madison Square Garden, when they reference the Garden being iconic, to go, I'm tired of the Garden being iconic for what opponents do here. It's time that we make our own mark here, because that's certainly what it feels like.
Well, they didn't hire hire Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
They hired Mike Brown. That's the only guy in the history, I know you did, which is funny, too, because, well, I guess he did it more where he kind of besmirched the Giants, That's what Rex sort of did. He kind of planted his flag.
It's just everybody that comes here always talks about how iconic, and it is an iconic building, but can our teams here, you know, win something substantial anytime in some of our lifetimes, please, in that building?
Number three.
All right, one of the things that I think led to Tibbs getting fired is that he wasn't able to evolve as a head coach. He's kind of been the same guy throughout all his stops, a little rigid, a little stubborn. So Brown talked about, you know, evolving as a head coach.
If you don't evolve, no matter what profession you're in, I'm sure you guys feel it too, especially some of you guys that have been around for a long time. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm not going to say any names. I'm just pointing out that way. I'm not saying any names. But for some of you guys that's been around a long time, and you feel the young bucks, I'm not pointing it or saying it, you feel the young bucks clawing at the back of your heels. And so, you know, learning, growing, evolving throughout the course of your time of where you're at is something that I'm a firm believer in.
I think that's key.
I wonder if they got offended by that.
But I like that, though. He tried to be really personalized.
But he's basically calling out some of those older.
Yeah. You got younger people clipping at you, too.
I know.
Be careful. I like that answer from him, though. And by the way, that's the truth, because when you judge somebody like Mike Brown being hired, we're going to look at what he did at all these past stops. I want to hear that you've learned, and it's not just the same old, same old.
I agree.
Right, especially when you haven't won a championship. You want to hear that you've evolved, because that's the thing with Tibbs. He never won a title, and he didn't evolve with the Knicks.
Exactly.
And that's what led to his dismissal. Here we go.
Number two.
All right, I touched on this a little bit earlier, but we didn't have the audio. Now we do. The pandering. Which I love. I'm a sucker for it. I mean, I think that Mike Brown set it up perfectly in his, you know, opening statement, and that was, you know, pandering to all the Knicks fans out there.
You talk about a historic franchise.
Historic.
Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden.
It's iconic.
Iconic.
are fans.
Fans, right.
They're the most knowledgeable.
Yep.
And passionate.
Yep.
Probably in all of sports.
Yeah, definitely smarter than Net fans. So he really won me over with just, you know, putting over the building, putting over the fans, putting over everybody. That's smart. You know, you butter up to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I don't know that I'd put that number.
Of the fan.
I can't believe that he's putting that number two, though.
Oh, he's because he's talking to him.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Brown was talking directly to positive Tommy.
Exactly. Maybe he could be positive Mike.
Yes.
We could work, and with positive Ben Stiller, we could work in unison.
Not number one.
Yeah, Avengers.
I think he was more talking to Timothy Chalamet, Kylie Jenner, and Ben Stiller than Tommy.
I'm working my way up. All right, okay. So number one, here we go.
Number one.
It's Chalamet.
That sustainable winning culture that produces championships. That's why I'm here.
That's why he's here, and that's what he's building. You throw that word championship out there, and that's what you... Yeah, he did.
He threw championships
out
there.
Even better. Multiple championships. So Knicks in 26 and beyond.
That'd make it tingle a little bit.
Noticed that one.
You play that clip over and over again. And why not? You have a team with a 3 to 5 year window. That's enough time for championships.
We needed a... We're the freaking New York Knicks.
And we're built for this.
Very good, Tommy.
Oh! This my fattest!
We're back!
You're hired, Rosie.
By the way, you and I need to have a three-way. Well, enough with that. But I took a call yesterday. I wanted him to come on the air. He didn't. We played that clip of the Kiss My Fat Ass. We got a call from a Lyft driver who basically said, you know, if you play that, I have to turn you guys off. And I'm like, but I couldn't get the explanation. And it's like, she's like, well, there's this lady in the back seat. Well, what is this? You know, it's not PBS. I mean, this is not, we could say ass. I mean, it's not a big,
it's a donkey.
Well, yeah, exactly. Correct. Or you. You know, however you want to interpret it.
That's not nice at all.
I'm not here to be nice. It's not, you know, we're not doing nice. Who said we have to be nice to each other?
Okay.
Did he feel bad for his passenger?
No, I think he just was like, I don't know what it was. I want him to get on air because I thought it'd be a good radio, but he was like not having it. So he's a caller. He's not like a jerk.
That, though. We should be on more like Lyfts and Ubers and stuff because, you know, you get in the backseat. Maybe you've never heard us before.
That's right.
And then you hear us go, what are you listening to?
Well, that's the thing.
How you grow the listenership. Right.
And then they hear, you can listen to this on the free Odyssey app.
Imagine you're
visiting. Tune in or...
iHeart, yeah.
Sean's got the copy.
Remember, you can listen to Evan and Tiki on the Odyssey iHeart Radio or TuneIn apps.
Imagine you're visiting New York City, which a lot of people do in the summer from, I don't know, outside Russia or something. Mm-hmm. You get in a Lyft, and you speak English. You understand what's going on. And the first thing you hear is an Evan AI song.
Right.
And you're thinking, what has happened to this country?
Right. Some guy from Russia gets in the back seat and goes, I knew Spike ruined the station.
Or you hear fake Shador Sanders say, D's nuts.
All right. What else you got? That was it, right? Didn't you have something else for us?
Oh, yes, I do. But in order to get it to you, I need a little bit of time.
So all right. So let's take a call. Can we take a call? We're going to take a call on bats. Doc in Wayne. Doc, what's up?
Hey, hi, guys.
You knew that was coming.
Listen, Tiki, I need to tell you something.
Go ahead.
Internist doctors will tell you that if you find a bat in your house, you need to ask your doctor whether or not you need a rabies shot.
Oh, God.
And I'm not kidding about this.
Why? Go ahead.
This is serious. That is on the internal medicine boards. It's a question. What do you do if someone says, I have a bat in my house? You need to recommend a rabies vaccine. So, Tiki, I think you should call your doctor, your physician, and see what they recommend.
Doc, before we hang up, can I ask?
Why? What's the reason?
Yeah, do you think that the bat took like an accidental nibble overnight on Tiki?
Exactly. You never know.
What?
You know, they can bite you and you wouldn't even know it. Oh. And, of course, they are notorious rabies carriers.
Of course.
So you can't take a chance. Hmm. And I would, you know, I'm not recommending it other than you call your physician and see what your physician recommends.
All right. Well, Dr. Tamris, you're getting a call.
Oh, I can't sleep tonight. I can't sleep in a world where people aren't waking up knowing they got bit by a bat.
I also have a soon-to-be 9-year-old and 11-year-old and their grandmother, my mother-in-law, in the house right now. Plus two dogs.
My heart, and your dog would bark. My heart is racing. Could you imagine? Would you survive if you woke up in the middle of the night, you had like, when you said you felt something, your eyes did that like
there's
half
a bat on you.
And you look and you just see like half a wing because that's all you could spot out of the corner of your eye. And you turn and the bat is clamped on, giving you a bite on your neck.
What? I would think it's Dracula.
What would happen first?
I would think it's Dracula.
Urination, number two, or heart attack?
Probably the heart attack.
Me too.
Heart attack's a slam dunk.
Definitely. I don't survive that at all.
Oh, especially if you turn into a vampire and you're now undead.
And then you make a Sherlock Holmes movie.
About vampires. The reason they didn't is because until 2023, the Conan Doyle family
owned
the copyright or the trademark, whichever one it was.
To Dracula?
To Sherlock Holmes.
I'm all over the place, man.
And so you couldn't make any movies without their approval, and it just expired. And so now you can do whatever you want with it. That's just like the Disney one expired, but you haven't seen like crazy stuff happen with Mickey Mouse.
No, there was one.
There was the Winnie the Pooh one where they were like it's a teen slasher.
Yeah.
Right. They were taking out people.
So
at
you
a
might
fair.
See it now with Sherlock Holmes.
Gotcha.
I don't need that. Mm.